All right, welcome to each of you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We welcome all of you to the City of South Jordan study meeting. Today is Tuesday, August 1st. I almost can't believe it is August 1st.
No,
that's like an old person thing to say, but I'll own that. I can't believe it's August 1st. It's going so fast. So we welcome each of you and appreciate you being here. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding city council. We've got excellent public servants here in this city, and we have the best staff in the state. Thank you to all of you who are here. We welcome the public joining us, any who will be tuning in later, those of you here to present to us. Thank you all so much for being here. And we are going to open tonight with an invocation, and it's my turn to give that. So, our Father in heaven, as we come before thee, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather as elected officials and staff and friends and residents of the City of South Jordan. We are grateful that we have the opportunity to live here, to work here, and to be surrounded by so many people who care about this community and who use their best skills and talents and devote their time and energies to making this city the best that it can be and to providing the best leadership and opportunities for the residents who live here. We are grateful for this process, for the government of the people, and that it's our turn to work, to do the best we can to represent the residents who live here and to hopefully leave the city better than we found it for when it's the next person's turn. We thank thee for the blessings and opportunities we have for living here, and we thank thee for all those who work so hard to take good care of our city, to keep us safe and to keep our roads flowing, to keep all of our infrastructure functioning and help us maintain the quality of life that we love here so much. We pray for thy spirit to be with us at this time. We pray that we can work together to make the right decisions, to come together and do what we collectively feel is best to help move this city forward as we continue to grow and welcome more residents to our city while prioritizing the quality of life that everyone who lives here is so grateful for. We thank thee for the freedoms we enjoy and for the blessing of living in the state of Utah and this great nation, and pray that thou would continue to help us as we each strive to do our best for this city and those who live here. We ask thy spirit to be here with us tonight. We thank thee for this food and ask thee to bless it, that it will give us the energy and the strength that we need. And we dedicate our efforts unto thee and the residents of this city with our firm commitment to do the very best we can to do right by the taxpayers and residents here. And we say these things gratefully and humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 I have only had that opportunity a few times. So I haven't cycled on my turn. It's rare. Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to amend our agenda tonight to add an item above D. We'll have to letter these, but we have a presentation in our regular council meeting from Ryan Levitt, and we're going to actually do that here next. So I need a motion to amend to add Ryan Levitt's presentation to this meeting. Also, it will also include amending the agenda to go into an RDA work session and closing the RDA work session. So,
Mayor, I move what you just said to be add Ryan Levitt to go into an RDA work session and close the RDA work session.
Is that clear enough?
Discussion. Let's see. Where's Ryan? Where's
right here, sir.
This Ryan.
Oh, Ryan. No,
wrong Ryan.
Oh, other Ryan. Ryan. Mr. Luce.
Yeah. So were we going to do a closed session in here, or?
Yeah. We'll have two closed sessions.
Yeah, just let me, I can walk you through it real quick.
Well, hold on. We're in the middle of a motion. My question is the closed session, are they multiple closed sessions then in G?
Yes, but we're going to have to amend to add, like the mayor said, the other closed session. So you're going to have two property things in G in the city and then a closed session for the RDA for the business. It's that letter
business
H.
Purpose.
Business
Did you already mention that?
Yeah, in order to be able to accomplish the work that needs to be done tonight, this is how legal counsel has recommended we
it's to talk center. About some economic development things that we can
as
close
as
an
as long
RDA.
As that's included in your motion, Ms. Zander, then I'm fine. I just wanted to make sure that we had executive closed sessions for both issues.
Both property issues are combined in that one sheet. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. They're there. This is just how we have to work.
Did we get a second?
So no, we have a
I'll second the motion.
And now we have a second. Any additional discussion? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of amending the agenda as stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We have an amended agenda this evening and appreciate Mrs. Crixton's work in sorting it all out, making sure that it's right. She actually knew in advance that this was going to need to happen. So thank you. All right. With that, we are thrilled to have our friend Ryan Levitt here with us. Ryan is here in business in Utah and offered to take his own discretionary time tonight to come and sit down and visit with us. And we appreciate it. He's got an update for us. As many of you know, Ryan works quite hard for us on our federal issues. And so, please.
Has everybody met Ryan? I don't know if you've met. So Councilmember Shelton, Councilmember Marler, and then up on the screen, Councilmember McGuire.
Great. Yes.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Council and staff. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. The mayor and the staff suggested that it might be a good opportunity for me to come by the city and give a bit of a report on the activities, the federal engagement that the city has been doing in Washington, D.C. As you know, for about a year now, the city has been investing in federal affairs consulting services. And the purpose of my visit, I think, is to report on what we're doing and to give an update on some of the projects and sort of a status update on some of the federal funding opportunities that the city's seeking. So the city's federal advocacy has really been focused on water infrastructure this year and two buckets of federal dollars that the city's going after. So the first one is through a discretionary grant program through the Bureau of Reclamation's Water Smart Discretionary Grant Program. This is focused on getting some federal investment for the Pure Sojo project. This would be for engineering, design, and pre-construction activities for that project. There, in the Bureau of Reclamation's Water Smart Grant Program, there is funding for planning activities associated with water purification. We've been working with the city and other consultants the city has to put forward a grant application for that project. And we were pleased to get the support of our congressional delegation for our application to the federal agency. One of the things that is important is when you're working with discretionary grant programs, you have to demonstrate support, political support, local support. And the way that discretionary grant programs work is they're somewhat subjective on who is awarded grants. They can be political. And so getting the support of our congressional delegation is an important function of that. And so we had visits from Senator Romney to the project. We also had visits from Congressman Burgess Owens and his staff to the project. And with those visits, we had them provide letters of support and also additional outreach to the federal agency by way of outreach from their senior staff in support of the project. We have been told that grant awards are going to be made in the next few weeks for that WaterSmart program. And so we're hopeful that the city will receive a grant. Oftentimes, it can take one or two cycles. You kind of have to get in line. These programs are always oversubscribed. There's a limited amount of funding that goes out. And so if the city is unsuccessful in this round, typically what we would do is we would request a briefing from the federal agency to give us some feedback on our application and areas that we can improve it so that, you know, if the city does seek to apply for the program again, that they'll be more successful the next time around.
And to be clear, this we have the pilot project up and going. This would be to expand the pilot project. I'm not sure from what to what, but it would be the next phase.
Yeah, pay for a feasibility study, which is required to apply for construction grants.
Right.
In addition to pay for some other ongoing costs during the pilot.
And that eventually the project would be to take all of the water that South Jordan puts in, or most of it, into the South Valley sewer system and reclaim what we can from that. So right now it's a very small amount.
Yeah.
So that's what this project is with the Pure Sojo.
Yeah, and the other piece was the city is working on getting some federal funding for a federal participation in the tank construction project. And the route that we chose to help the city pursue is a direct appropriation from Congress. This is colloquially termed an earmark. This is a process that is newly reinstated in the Congress. And so we work with Congressman Burgess Owens' office to submit what is known as a congressionally directed spending or a community project funding request. They prefer not to talk about earmarks. It's the process on earmarks has really changed. They've limited them significantly to only publicly facing entities. So you have to be a public agency to seek this kind of funding. And there's a lot of scrutiny in terms of making sure that, you know, members, their staff, anybody is not going to benefit financially from these kinds of opportunities. So I do want to emphasize to the city that this process is robust, it's fair, and it's, you know, it's not something that is, you know, a dirty word or anything like that to go after an earmark. But it's a really great way for, members of Congress to select projects within their district. They're going to have a massive or a major impact regionally on their constituents. And so we were pleased that Burgess Owens, Congressman Owens, came and toured the project site. And he's able to submit 15 projects for funding every cycle. And he submitted South Jordan's project as his number one request. And that's significant in many ways, because what we're experiencing in Washington right now with spending is a lot of downward pressure on spending. There's significant pressure to reduce deficit spending, to decrease the amount of federal dollars that are being spent. And so in order to get any kind of congressionally directed spending in this environment is difficult. And so for our project to be ranked as number one priority, I believe is the reason why South Jordan is slated to receive money. So the process started, you know, late in last fall. He came out toward the project, and then we had visits from the mayor and the previous city manager, Gary Watcott, came out and visited with the congressional offices about it. And then later in the spring, during the National League of Cities Conference, we had a contingent from the city come out and meet with these offices again to do some advocacy for these funding requests, both the grant request and the congressionally directed spending requests.
Which is for the new water tank out west.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what we've seen is as the summer has led on, the appropriations committees have released their spending bills, and we got a sense of what projects were included, what were not. And the House Interior EPA Appropriations Committee, that's the bill that provides funding for the Bureau of Reclamation projects. And the city's seeking what's called a STAG, or a State and Tribal Assistance Grant, for this particular tank project. It was included in the House bill at $1.75 million for the city of South Jordan. And it's a little bit of a haircut in terms of what the city asked for.
What was the number again?
$1.75 million.
Is what we asked for?
No, that's what we're slated to receive.
Okay. What did we ask for?
I think it was closer to $3 or $4 million.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look.
There's a max you can ask for. We asked near that, knowing that the more likely would be around 2, which is where
we landed.
And that was an understandable thing from the beginning.
You tend to shoot high, knowing that the committees have to find that money. And in this environment, it's very difficult to find the pay for us to spend this kind of money. So,
but they found it is a very worthy project.
That's true, yeah. So the next step now is that the House and the Senate have both proposed competing spending bills. And the big challenge here is that the House and Senate are very far apart on their spending levels. Obviously, the House is controlled by Republicans, the Senate is controlled by Democrats, and they have different ideas on what they want the overall spending bill to look like. This is going to be a compromise between the chambers and the White House. The end of the fiscal year is the end of September, so September 30th. And Congress is now on a six-week break. They won't. They'll come back to Washington after Labor Day. So once they come back to Washington, they're coming for a very, very busy September. The spending bill is not the only priority that they have to address. There are a number of sort of items that expire at the end of the fiscal year, at the end of September. So what we've seen historically is Congress needs more time. So they pass a stopgap measure, which usually takes the federal spending deadline to more to the end of the year, sort of around Christmas time, with the deadline of if you want to go home to see your family for Christmas, you got to pass this bill. You know, so they have to apply that kind of pressure on members. The challenge is they're so far apart on spending. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollar difference between these bills.
Is this more so than most years?
More so than most years. Because in June, there was an agreement to increase the debt ceiling. And if I'm getting too in the weeds, forgive me. I could talk about this all the time. But there was an agreement that they were going to set spending levels at essentially the previous year's fiscal year spending. But House Republicans have said they'd like to go below that authorization, a little bit lower, and the Senate wants to go at the debt limit deal. So that sets up kind of a showdown, to be honest with you. I've worked in Washington through two other government shutdowns, and this smells like a shutdown to me in terms of they're pretty dug in, both sides. And so the reason I'm sharing all of this is because South Jordan's funding is going to get caught up between this fight, between the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. I do anticipate that ultimately there will be an agreement. It just might get a little bit ugly before we get there in terms of we may have several week government shutdown, kind of due for one. I think the last one went over a month long. I don't think we'll see that again, but it's plausible. But I think either we're going to have a continuing resolution passed in September and this fight gets pushed to the end of the year, or they have the fight now and then they reach a deal that passes the spending bill. But ultimately, that's the big remaining hurdle for the city to get its funding, is that there is going to be a compromise between the House and Senate, and that will be the ultimate decider of the funding that's scheduled to come. But typically, the biggest hurdle in getting this kind of congressionally directed appropriation is getting into the bill. Now that we're in the bill, it's just a matter of getting the agreement, and typically these spending requests are honored because they're member priorities.
And yeah. I would say from our project side, we're still able to move forward. We plan contingencies like we should, and we're able to get the projects done and move forward. This would just offset some of the burden that the South Jordan residents would pay if we were able to acquire this money. So from the project side, we're still able to move forward. I see Brad nodding, so I feel more comfortable.
Well, we just got the property yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess just sort of in conclusion here, and then I'm happy to answer questions. You know, we understand that the city is investing taxpayer money to do federal affairs work, to try to engage on the federal level, to try to get federal investment in these critical infrastructure projects. You know, it's been our mission to be successful in helping bring, you know, the taxpayers of South Jordan pay federal taxes just like everybody else. They send their money to Washington, and it's a best practice as a city to try to bring as much of those taxpayer monies back to be used here in the city. And these are critical infrastructure projects for not only the residents that are here now, but for the future growth of the city. And these projects are well supported by our congressional delegation. And I want to commend the city for doing the outreach that it's done. They follow best practices in terms of advocacy. And my hope is that this funding will come through in the next couple of months. And we'll get word on the grant process. But, you know, Congress has spent historic levels of infrastructure investment across the country. And I'm just pleased that Utah is doing a really good job at trying to take full advantage of all these federal opportunities. This money is going to be spent somewhere. If it's not spent in Utah, it will be spent somewhere else. So thank you for the time that's been spent by the council and the mayor to take the time to go to Washington to do this advocacy, to host, you know, our local congressional members here to the city to see the projects. These things really matter when it comes time to making these types of requests. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
And I'll just advise on time. We don't have much time.
Okay. I'm long-winded, sorry.
As we move toward our next one.
I just one quick question. You mentioned infrastructure is an area that they're, the Congress and they're funding more. Is that than other years? Is that what you're seeing? Or?
So the infrastructure bill authorized spending, certain spending levels for the next 5 years. So
okay.
I think we're 2 years into a
2 years
five-year
into, okay.
cycle.
It's a five-year cycle, gotcha.
Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah, and that includes water. Is that water's
water,
all included in that?
Water, transportation,
gotcha.
Broadband, all facets of infrastructure.
Everything you think of utilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
I have two quick questions.
Sure.
You talked about this. The House has a budget and the Senate has a budget.
Right.
We are in that bill that the House
correct
is forwarding.
Yes.
Okay. So being supported more by the Republican base than the Democrat base.
You know, the reason that we're in the House bill and not the Senate bill is because our senators do not participate.
Our senators
in
don't?
These directly congressionally directed spending requests.
And
it's actually prohibited under the Republican Senate caucus rules.
Oh.
And so they do not participate.
So it had to go through the
House. Had to go through the House.
Burgess Owens.
Yeah. Well, I know it's the Burgess. I didn't know that it had to go there
both
because our senators don't.
They don't.
As you know, as you went back with us, both senators are aware and supportive of
they're supportive
right
of the process.
Right, right, right.
And we even got letters of support.
Yeah.
I think that really
right
needs to be stated.
Yes.
That
they just
all of the work that
it
took place to try to make sure everybody was on board, a key in even getting recognized and even making it. We can have the best project ever, but if we don't have the support of our delegation, it doesn't matter. Right? And to be listed as Congressman Owens' number one priority cannot be overstated. That matters so much.
Yeah.
But the quality of our application and the letters of support from every member of our delegation in the state of Utah, huge. That's
right
a big part of why he could stick his neck out there and say, this really is good and they need this. This is a regional asset. This matters for the city of South Jordan. And I'm willing to stick my neck out and say, we should fund this as a Congress.
And Mayor, to put it in further in perspective, these offices get upwards 60, 70 of these types of requests, and they're only able to submit 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to prioritize to the committee what are their top priorities, because they don't get all 15 requests.
Out of the 15, what, 5, 7 maybe?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it depends on how many projects, you know, in each account that they
and
request.
The value.
Yeah.
So my last question is, when we talk infrastructure, it could be roads, bridges,
right,
all of it. And this sounds biased, and I don't mean to sound rude. Some states don't plan ahead. They're very poor at planning ahead.
Right.
And so they have terrible infrastructure problems with regard to their roads.
Right.
Utah has been better at planning ahead. This Sojo Pier project is a proactive infrastructure
right
instead of reactive. Our bridge is falling. Does that get pushed down lower because it's not as emergency, or do they see that as, oh, good for you for being proactive? Like, how's that received?
So,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. So the federal government wants to incentivize forward-looking
good
projects. And so the account that the city's seeking this discretionary grant in is meant to be for the planning of future projects.
Good. Okay. I'm
and
glad
so,
to hear that.
And
we're not
and
just putting Band-Aids
exactly
on things that are...
Yeah. So this is meant to be a forward-looking.
Right.
And the city's really going to use this money for a feasibility study,
yeah,
which does cost... significant
and it will
money
benefit the whole state.
Absolutely.
Like, it could benefit multiple states.
The federal government also likes to invest in technology that's innovative. It's something, you know, they want to say, if we're going to invest federal taxpayer money into a project, we want it to be something that can be proven out and can be duplicated elsewhere.
Yes.
And that's another reason why this is a very attractive project.
Good.
Our competition in this grant pot of money would be different than fixing bridges that are falling.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that
yeah
it's categorized differently and seen differently. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Ryan.
Sure.
Anybody else have any questions?
Mr. Sheldon, did you have one? Jump
ahead
together.
I do, but go ahead.
Well, I think my question is maybe not so much for Jeff, but, you know, are there other county dollars, state dollars, anything else that we can kind of match up with? And, you know, now that we've shown that this is a priority, very important topic, are there any other dollars out there that we can, you know, drum up to add to the kitty?
We are working all those angles on the state level. Yeah. And when I say angles, there's different, we did get a grant for Pure Sojo last year of $1
million.
We got $1 million in 2022. And so we're looking at what other opportunities we have. So yeah, and this year we'll be quarter to quarter with the county and transportation monies. We're already discussing, with our engineers and others about what projects and what we can do. We've made that sort of work at the legislature a priority the last 6-7 years, and we've done, we're well respected, and we're able to get good projects out of it.
Yeah, we've come out way ahead of most cities. So anyway, thank you.
So you mentioned that we had letters of support from our whole delegation. Is that the congressional delegation?
Congressional delegation, both senators. And all four congressmen.
Oh, the senators as well. So yes. So we have support across the board.
They can't submit them, but they can express letters of support. And actually, Senator Lee does not, honestly, write letters of support like that for these kind of, for spending projects like this. Well, we got the closest thing to a version of that that he's ever written.
Yes.
To support this project. Very supportive of this project.
It's a great project. Yeah. And we were able to submit that.
Yeah. So,
and we appreciate
so both senators and all four of our, but that's what we've been working on, right? All of us collectively trying to make this happen and move it down the road. And so if I can go so far as to say that, you know, we're confident that this will come through. We've overcome the greatest hurdles. We've got this in the bill. To the best of our knowledge, and I talked to Mr. Watcott as well, and to the best of his knowledge as well, it is the first time South Jordan has ever had a direct appropriation from Congress for one of our projects that doesn't go through the state, that doesn't go through somebody else that's going to benefit us, directly from Congress to the city of South Jordan for our project. It's the first time. So and congratulations to everybody.
You can call it Miramar.
Well done.
See, we can call it that. But I would say this. The process... I just want to sort of telegraph, and I'm sensitive to time because I know you have an agenda here you got to get to. If Congress does appropriate this money, and I anticipate that they will, afterwards, the city will then execute a grant agreement directly with the federal agency. And that process takes some time. So you have to – basically, the city would have a fully funded grant agreement with the EPA – before they would disperse those funds directly to the city. And, you know, so there is going to be some work needed to the city in order to get the check written. But the Congress would have directed EPA to give us the money.
So hopefully you've been able to pick up on the fact that we are very well represented. And we have the right person helping us navigate this. Ryan is incredibly respected back in Washington and has strong relationships. Greatly appreciated by every member of our delegation. They all know him. They've all worked with him. They all trust him. They know us. They like us. They like the city. They like what we're doing. They're aware of what we're doing, even if they're not our representative. They're very aware of what we're doing. We've spent a lot of time as a city making sure that they know and having these conversations. They are aware, and Ryan's helping us navigate this. Our staff put together excellent, excellent applications that the congressman's staff actually just came and visited with me a couple of days ago, Burgess's staff, and said, thank you for making that so easy for him to submit. Like, it was so perfect, and everyone was behind it. He was proud to be able to make that his top request. So
good stuff.
Thanks to everyone who's played a part. It's been a heavy lift on everyone's part. Thank you for your help in navigating this and coming to give this update. Ryan does not live here. And so we appreciate
that
he's clear across the country, right in the middle of a move. Personally, his family's been moving. And so, yeah, he's got a lot on his plate. And we appreciate you coming to share this update with the city.
Well, I will say it's a true honor to represent South Jordan. This is a premier community in the state. It's a very important part of this valley. It's really where all the growth is. And our congressional delegation recognizes its importance to the state. So thank you for all you're doing, and thank you for your trust in us to represent you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you all.
Thanks. Safe travels. Come again soon.
With money.
with that check.
Yeah. You guys, when he got the word, when the bill finally came out and he got the word that it had been released and found out that South Jordan was listed specifically with our appropriation, he called me and I looked at the time and I thought, it's almost midnight in D.C. Is there an emergency? Why would he be calling
Good
me at this time? And
he cares.
Because he was able to say, this is the best news ever. This is what we've been working towards. Yeah. So it's good.
That's
yeah, it's good.
That's a good late night call to receive.
That's a good call to receive.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you all, everybody. Okay. Mayor and Council coordination, I had a couple things I wanted to share, but I can even share those in the next meeting when we're doing updates if we need to, for the sake of time. Anybody else have anything they have to go over right now?
Nope, I got something. I'll save it.
Okay, let's move on. Regular council meeting. Ryan Lovett will be amending that agenda to take him off of that one. Anybody have any questions about our regular council meeting that we have to discuss now?
I have questions that I'll discuss in the next meeting.
Okay. All right, seeing none, let's move on to item F1, our project discussion. We're going to turn the time over to Stephen Schaefermeyer, who's here with Doug Young. We appreciate each of you being here. Doug's got some folks here with him, too. So, Stephen, we'll turn the time over to you.
Yeah, I'll just give you some brief background, and I'll let Doug and his team orient you on the project, where it is, what their thoughts are currently. We do have an application for a planned development floating zone for this project. It's been, I don't know, a year since it was submitted, probably. A lot of iterations, a lot of ideas floated. We just received an update today, this morning, and so you'll see what I saw this morning, and they'll walk you through their current thinking on the project. As always, as much specific, direct, I was going to say suggestions, direction as possible from you will be helpful in both from their perspective and from my perspective. So as clear as you can be on what you're expecting from this project, what problems you see, what you'd like to see done differently. Obviously, we're still at a conceptual phase. There's been a lot of moving parts with the alignment of U111 and all of that. They'll get into some of that. But as much as you can provide us so that they can continue to move forward on this. So,
Thank you. And I want to just make sure, for timing-wise, because we want to fit everything in today, and I want to make sure that they have the time that that they need and that has been committed to them, and also our next week. We are scheduled to go into closed session at 5:45. Is that right? Our first closed session at 5:45.
Yeah.
So these are the agendas.
Yes, but we added part of Doug's presentation that was going to 5:45 was closed.
Really should
so really, you should, like, 5:30 go into close for his part. And then we have another developer with some stuff talked about in close.
I just want to make sure that everybody gets what they're supposed to do. 5:30. Okay. Great. All right. Thanks. Hi. Welcome. We will take 20 minutes in this open session and then go into closed session at 5:30.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. I just want to say, while he's setting that up, that we've been successful in remediating the property. The EPA has approved it. The state has approved it. It has never been done in the United States, obviously no place in the world, what we did to remediate that property. It's never been done before. And so you're the first time that's ever been done. The last remediation item that we have left to do is we need to, it's part of the EPA process. You probably noticed if you went up to the property that we planted, we put up a fencing now, that we'll need to plant it this fall, and the sheep will be up there to take a harvest off the property.
What are you planting?
Wheat.
Wheat, okay.
Yeah, and it'll extract 180 bush, it needs to be about 180 bushel wheat, and we'll be able to plant that up there this fall, probably around the 15th of September.
So we'll watch for wheat and then sheep.
Wheat and then sheep.
Wow.
Okay.
Awesome.
So that's fall, they call that fall wheat.
Yes.
That's what grows over the winter.
Yes. And what we're going to do is buy some sheet from the kids next week at your at the Equestrian Center.
Nice.
And last year that was very successful. There was 300 kids that participated in that. They raised over $300,000, and 40% of the meat, which was 45% of the meat went to the homeless shelter. So it's an incredible program that's set up, and we keep pushing all that.
So the sheep will graze on the wheat?
Yeah. Then?
So before it gets
and they're going to be gentle sheep. And I can go get them on a leash. It's going to be really easy. I don't want any wild sheep out there.
No, you're going to be a shepherd.
I will be a shepherd.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
You're in good company.
Yeah. So, hey, you're viewing Corey's sheep screen. Hey, you got to drop that screen down a little bit. You're covering up the name of the project.
It's just where it's at.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what's under the label. When we came and talked, it's been at least a year or more ago, they were in the process of what we thought was going to happen was that this is going to be the new U-111 right here. And it kind of came down and wrapped around to 12600 style. And so we came in thinking that we were going to basically, you can see a little bit of the subdivision here of Daybreak around it. We were just going to basically take that subdivision and go 5.5 units to the acre from there and just blend it all the way to the west and come up here do a little bit of commercial, because we figured this was going to be the major intersection right here. And then Ken Cott thought, you know, we don't want to divide our property up, Doug. Can you run this through the center of the property? And at first I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't really like that idea. But then as I thought about it, as I looked about it, I thought, well, it shifts the use of the property. It gives us a couple of commercial corners here, and especially in here. And then when Kennecott brings this annexed property right here on, what it does is it enables you to do the commercial here, then up here, then up here, and it creates even a bigger town center than what we're going to create. So I thought, you know, in the long run, this is going to be amazing. And so this is where it's been locked in now. This is exactly where U-111 is going to come through there now.
And then the red line.
Red dashed line. Uh-huh. And then people behind me can't see it. But right here, the project actually hits South Jordan Parkway and comes across here. And what's going to happen is this will be another intersection up here. And then this road will tie in down here. And this road from about here to here will be abandoned. And so basically, on this project, we have two intersections from South Jordan Parkway to 118. So go to the next drawing. These are the intersections that are right now approved through the project. And this is your newly annexed property here with Kennecott's. And then this ground right here is the... we'll go back to that other drawing first.
Doug, that pointer is not working very
it's
well.
Not,
if you could just
I'll point, just show it to you. Yeah. Okay. So originally what we were planning on doing is just a passive trail system right here that was going to kind of come through here and tie into the Kennecott property, work its way up Butterfield Canyon. But after this realignment here, we changed directions and we went a different way for your consideration, really. So go to the next drawing. So what we did is we put a shoreline trailhead park here, which connects to all the park systems, and I'll show you that in just a minute. But this will be the Bonneville Shoreline Trailhead. And it'll connect, obviously, around to Magnet, all through Draper, and all the way around the entire valley here. And we put that there, then we put the intersections here, and then... So we think this is really a good plan. So then we go to this next one, right here. This is the newly annexed property here. This is, of course, Shoreline now, here. And you can see the trail system that goes from... all the way through the new park here, the trailhead that you have in Bingham, Beam Creek Trailhead, comes all the way up through here and up through all the new streams and things that Daybreak's doing. It connects to here and then connects clear over here. And then this is the Bonneville Shoreline that goes all the way around. And then, of course, it makes a break here, and this is the property we donated to the county, well, Utah State, actually, and that's how the trade got done with the Equestrian Center. And then it connects to all these trail systems that are up in here. And so this is really a significant trailhead, and we'll be able to talk about that at a later time, too. So go to the next drawing there. This is just a blow-up of the same thing. This is where, obviously, they're going to put the baseball stadium down here. We have this property here. We call this the ballpark district over here, and we're working with the property owners there to try to make that a really a successful project, linking it up. And so what we have here is Harriman annexed all this up in through here, and so we have this intersection right here, but eventually this will tie in, and this will just be one corner. So you have an intersection here on the new U-111, and it'll be like Centertown in a lot of ways because you'll have the Bangor and you'll have Mountain View Corridor, and we'll be able to connect the commercial center from our new U-111 to the old U-111. So it's really going to be a significant amount. So we doubled, at a minimum, the commercial area in this project. If we go, so what I did is originally we were doing the 5.5 units. What I did to do a town center here, I added 3 units to it, so it went to 8.5. And I'll show you what we're trying to accomplish with that. This is really a cool video. It kind of shows everything. I'll just kind of let it play out a little bit. That's a 1 mile radius. This is really your new downtown or uptown. This is really uptown. That's the existing South Jordan there. Harriman, of course. Then this shows all the connectivity. So this shows all the rezoned property. And you see strategically how it's located. It's right in the center of everything. These are the roads that are going in. They're going really fast. And then, so that kind of gives you all the connectivity. Then it's going to do a shot, and the video is going to show it at 106 South. So this is the stadium. Stop for just a minute. This is the stadium right here going in here. This is the ballpark district. So this is South Jordan Parkway heading west. And so this is Bullfrog right there, and this is the property here, and it'll kind of light it up for you. Kind of shows you that look at all that area out there. And oh, was it gonna start over again?
Yeah, I clicked it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think I clicked the screen okay. Instead of the button. So
all right.
It'll come on here in 2 seconds.
So who owns the land south of Olympia right there, Doug?
Just that's yours. That's Kennecott.
Okay. No, south
of Olympia.
This is all
that
Heron.
Gray?
This is all Heron.
So why is purple not in there?
Yeah, they should have.
Okay.
Thanks for catching that.
Well, I'm just curious, is there another person? That's,
no.
That's still purple.
No, that's Aaron.
Okay.
They I noticed that. Okay, stop right there for just a minute. So you can see the trail systems again. This is the new park you guys just dedicated right there.
Yeah.
And then this is the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. They come out here and go around the valley that way. This one goes that way, all the way around Magna and every place. And then it connects up here to here. And all the trail systems right there.
Really cool.
Okay, go ahead. Now it's taken off. There's the ballpark stadium here. And we're just heading out. There's the South Jordan Parkway. There's Shoreline right there. And then there's all the new annexation property. Right there. Stop it right there for just a sec. So this is the new U-111 that's going to cut across here. And it's actually going to cut across here. It goes there and connects over to 134. It drops down through here, all the way through here, and connects down to 134. So there's this, eventually, and it'll also connect to 126. Eventually, this road has a right-of-way of about 170 feet. Eventually, it could very well become, in years, a Bangor, which I think it will. And so we're planning for that.
Would it be like a 215 that kind of takes in a loop on the south?
Something like that, but I think they're going to allow us to have some stops.
Yeah, okay. Not a freeway, but okay. Like a redwood road.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be significant. But okay. That can all go away, too, as the impact comes in out here. There's more and more housing that's going to go in out here. This is really the new area.
So U-111 is slated to curve and go east.
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't
right
hook
down
in.
126.
It doesn't hook into Redwood. It has its own path.
It'll come through here. It'll connect to right there to 126. And go all the way down, connect to Mountain View.
Okay.
And then go down and hit Bangor.
Okay, so it's
and
not
then
going.
Do the loop around.
Yeah. It's not going down to that whatever that road is where Mountain View hooks into Redwood.
No. What is that?
No.
No.
Something.
But it
Rockwell, like there's not that
far south, just south of us at 126 and 134.
Got it. Yep. Thank you so much.
And there again, here's the trail system coming through here. Okay, so go ahead. Unlock a little bit. Now,
Doug, sorry. You said it and I clicked it right at the wrong point. Here we go. I'm just going to jump ahead. Right here.
Right there. Okay. I notice how beautiful the mountains are. So this is when we got that 18 inches of snow down
there. Yeah, that's pretty.
You can see Timpanogos. And we're just the center.
And we can see your poop farm so good.
Yes.
No snow on the poop farm.
We call it other things now.
I know. Sorry. On Shoreline.
It's a wheat farm now.
Now it's a wheat farm with sheep.
Right.
Now that we've cleared that up.
Do you see there's no snow on it?
Now that we've cleared those things up.
Sorry.
That's kind of
erase that word from
Well, I can't help but notice how much that area has grown just since this video was taken, just in the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like,
it's all around us.
It looks a lot fuller than that now.
Yeah,
doesn't
it's
it?
All around
you
us.
It's grown right. a lot.
Well, you know, if Shoreline, just stop here for just a minute, if Shoreline was right here, it's a no-brainer. You're doing residential houses and you're doing some townhomes and single families. So where we have the intersection here, and we're really lobbying hard to get a BRT across this and busing transit, it changes the use of the property. It's a city center, and that's why we increased the density. Because you might ask yourself, you know, there's all the other projects out here are roughly 5 units to the acre. But when you take a large piece of ground, you can still create that. But we have 200 acres, but we're in the heart of the town center. That's why it's just different, you know. If you were to stay at 5 units to the acre on this project here, you'd literally use up 80% of your, you'd have a commercial right here, you use up 80% of the units just around the center, as you'll be able to see when I show it to you. So let's hit the, we okay?
It's playing.
You okay, you steady.
Well, as long as
not,
as long as I use this little teeny
okay,
mouse, and it's
that
right.
Mouse down, okay. Let's not have any more reruns. Okay. This is what we're really lobbying for. We've been successful in getting $80 million on rerouted U-111s, and I can tell you a big part of that is because when I use the word South Jordan, the state listens. I'm just telling you, the mayor's done an amazing job. Lobbying and their ability to communicate. The council has also done that. You're the council that everybody envies. And I'm telling you, when I use the name South Jordan, we were successful in getting, a big part of that was successful in getting $80 million. So this $1 million and $2 million you're hustling over here, we got $80 million. And so we have the political support right now to get a BRT here, which is basically bus routes up here. They don't want to leave the southwest quadrant in the shape that some of the east side is. They want to have access to transit here.
So, and Doug, where are they going to have a BRT run? Where will it run?
Right now, and I'll show you that. Right now, this is a BRT that was an award-winning one in Denver. And so you see some resemblance on this with our master plan. I'll show you how that goes together. So this is, you'll see the open space and different things. This is a town center in Denver. It won first place. Keep going. This kind of shows you parking. They did a BRT. They did theirs. Bus routes in the middle of the, would be in the middle of U-111, the new U-111. I more favor the bus routes and the shared lane on the outside of U-111. It's a little more.
So you'd have it going north and south.
Yeah, north and south, and then drop it down either 118 and 126. We control Olympia, obviously.
So run down to the tracks, maybe.
You can do tracks.
I mean, run the BRT to the tracks. Is that
yes,
what you're
that
thinking?
Was the idea. Yes.
Okay.
This is a rendering from Denver, though, right?
These right now. Yeah, I said this one here is the award-winning BRT from Denver.
But you can picture the UVX line down in Orem and Provo, right? That with their bus rapid transit line that they take all the way through Orem to Provo between the two campuses.
Yeah.
And that's a dedicated lane. That's a BRT.
But you can kind of get an idea of what goes in. I mean, you come in, this would be like a Trader Joe's or a 70,000 square foot a retail shop. You put some retail shops out front here, but you know you'll burn up 700 or 800 units right there in that center in a 50-acre parcel. So go ahead and go. So this is shoreline, and this would be kind of the entrance to us. So go to the next slide. So this is kind of a master plan idea of what we have here. This is South Jordan Parkway, clear over here, and this is 118th South here. And then this would be the retail center right here. And all this back in here would be some of the taller apartments, buildings here. But it all interlinks. And then you've got the Shoreline Trailhead Park here we're lobbying for the underpass to go right underneath there. Similar to the underpasses that you have in Daybreak, those big, beautiful arches.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people don't
feel like they're in a walkway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't feel like you're going into a cavern, right, which no one wants to go into. And so this soil here will actually be dropped about 6 to 8 feet. This will be elevated here, and it creates this cavern that we can shoot up and underneath there. It's going to be amazing. But this ties to all the trail systems and things down here. It comes into the corner of the park here. And then this goes right on up to Butterfield Canyon. So show them the other image. This is the flavor that we want to use on the project. This is called a modern timber look. So we really like this. So this is the types of buildings. No bullfrogs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Keep going.
That bottom left right one looked like our fire station. If you go back one, the bottom right. Kind of looks like our fire station a little bit.
So this kind of shows this is just showing the some of the insides. This is the vision. This is the mixed use inside the city center. Keep going a little faster. We got limited time. We're going to have entertainment and food here. What was I going to say? That's how that all comes together right there. Go to the next slide. That's how it kind of lays down. Now the reason, and it was important, I thought Steve Scheffermeyer pointed out something. How do you know your vision will work? And it's a pretty picture, but how do you know it's going to work? So it's really a good comment. We've done the economic studies on it, and you might ask yourself, why does some of the retail, and Tamara could probably answer this as well as anybody, doesn't work in similar places, like in Daybreak, for example. It's a beautiful little thing there. They got an office building and everything. But you've got to have a regional draw, too, and the ability to bring people in regionally. So you got to create a retail center that has about 3,000 people sitting up on top of it, right within walking distance. And between here and here, you've got about 1,200 units here and here. And so you create the people that are there every night. Then you create grocer, and then you create the entertainment, and then you can shut these areas off and do your markets and different things like that. So it all interconnects together. And so this is a city center. This isn't just a subdivision. Then go to the next, and you can kind of see how it interacts. The grocer store is not just you do a grocery store here. We did the economic study on it, and it came in at, they estimated that once the U-111s went in, once the roads went in, the store will do, a 70,000 square foot store will do about 700,000 a week. This whole project, the whole 200 acre project will generate, Zions did a takeoff on it, about $1,650,000 to the city. And keep going. Is there another one along the back? This area out here, go to the next one maybe. No, go back. So this area out in here, there'd be some housing here. The unique thing that South Jordan has is you're 8.5 miles away from any car dealerships. And so if you can imagine, the Southwest Quadrant is one of the number one, is the number one place in the state for affordable cars. People like to finance them, and they finance them out here. And like Kia, probably 70% of the cars Kia comes out here, according to Jerry Stein. And he sells them in South Jordan, obviously, and they come over here. But there are some things like that. Then the other things we want to do. The other thing is we did the Carson Hamilton School, donated the property for the Carson Hamilton special needs kids. The Jordan School District has a big need for special needs kids at ages 1 through 5. Right now, they're piled up at the Jordan's, at the Carrie Sue School. And so we wanted to do another donation and get a school here for kids that are 1 through 6. And we want to do a fun school, something like this, to kind of show you the indoor rooms. We just did an amazing room for the autistic kids that we did it about 2 years ago with all these flashing lights, and they love it. So this will be part of the project we anticipate. These are some of the schools that we could put in the project, and this more modern twist to them, just a little different. You know what I mean? This is the fire station right there. We need to put those fancy opening doors on it, but there again, it's more of that modern timber look. Go to the next. This is what I honestly, car dealerships, I think you can put up in that area. That's why I put it just kind of an open development area. That these are all ideas that we have that we'd like to do, roll it through. This is some of the trail systems. We're going to have really nice trail systems. The park's going to be amazing. And we'll be able to talk a little bit more about that park later. Okay, next. Didn't we have any of the houses on here?
No,
we
didn't.
Okay. Well, the housing is really amazing. I don't know why we don't. Okay. Well, the housing is a modern mountain. So you have a cottage look. So you'll have the craftsman look that's similar to Daybreak. So about 35% of that would probably flow into more of a cottage look, so we can blend into Daybreak. Our park and all our roads connect to every park and every road that for Daybreak, so we can blend them together. But the go back on it, I'll just show them that. So what they do is they tie one more back. One more. Oh. I wish I had that. Okay, well, we don't.
And we're going to want to get into our closed session soon, so there's time to talk about it.
Okay. So when do we need to go in? 2 minutes?
Right now.
Okay, right now? Okay, we're going right now.
As soon as we can. Go ahead and finish.
Okay, no, it's okay. I've got a little video here, but it's really cool. All I can say is that you can see all the retail buildings. This thing here is cool. This is the Butterfield Canyon. It takes 2 minutes, but if you want to see it,
yeah.
Or not.
I want to see it.
Do you want to see it? Okay. This is what we're all after, trying to tie this community, the Olympia, right into the mouth of Butterfield Canyon. This was shot just in the fall.
I don't know why it's jiggy.
I don't either.
It's not here, but it is there. So I think it's because it's data transfer onto Zoom.
So did you guys film this yourselves?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
But it's incredible. There, it's going a little bit better now. We'll just take it to the deer. We found a 2-point buck out there
now,
and
is
the turkey.
Is this Kennecott land or is this county?
This is a county. This is the trails. And it's some of it's Daybreak. There's our deer right here moving
mm-hmm.
through the brush
mm-hmm.
right here.
Turkeys.
Yeah.
Wild turkeys up there.
But it's beautiful. But if you need to go in a closed session, it just kind of gives you an idea. It's so beautiful up there, and that's what we're all trying to create these trail systems through, too. I think that's good.
Awesome.
So we'll go in closed session.
Thank you.
We'll talk about that other.
All right. I'm going to ask for a motion.
The one question is, I know
Mr. Schenkmeyer asked for this. If you have any direction as to any of this, we can't do it in the close.
Okay.
And so as to this discussion, we have to do the other one. Mr. Schenkmeyer asked for that.
We may have to discuss that after. We will not have time to get this group done and the next group done if we have that conversation at this moment.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make sure it was clear.
So we can. We will discuss that
totally separate from this
tonight.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, we can have that discussion. It may have to be at the end of our next meeting, even. It might have to be. But we will have that discussion tonight to make sure to have feedback for you.
Okay.
I just don't want to not have time for the next discussion that we're supposed to have. Is that right?
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask for a motion to recess our city council meeting and move us into executive closed session for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. Can I get a motion?
So moved, Mayor.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I said aye.
I'm now going to ask for a motion to go to our RDA, the South Jordan Redevelopment Agency meeting.
So moved.
I need a second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Welcome to the South Jordan City Redevelopment Agency meeting. I'm now going to ask for a motion to take us into a closed RDA meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, then I need to ask for a motion to take us from the Redevelopment Agency meeting back into our regular City Council meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Welcome back to our regular council meeting. I think that's the end of what we have to discuss here. Am I right? Am I wrong? Is that everything? That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We're good? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'll just ask my question as we're walking out, okay, because it's not. Yeah, it's benign. With that, I will ask for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.